When you hear the word benediction, you might think, oh, that means that the church service is just about over. Or that's the time that to signal you to gather your bulletins or your wrappers and your pens so you can be ready to move out of the aisle and visit with people or to leave because the service is just about over. Now, my hope is that through this study, you will have a greater appreciation for the benediction and what the benediction means, because the benediction has with it and is attached to it great blessings and benefits to the believer. Now we get this term benediction from the Latin word benedicere, and it means to bless. And so when we hear the word benediction, and it's a time for the pastor to announce a blessing to the congregation, the pastor typically will raise his hands, taken from Leviticus 9:22, but the pastor doesn't pronounce his own blessing, but he instead pronounces and gives off to the congregation God's divine blessing from the Word of God on the people of God at the end of the service before they are dismissed. John Payne, a PCA minister, in his book on worship wrote that the blessing from God is a parting declaration that is often doxological in nature, thereby pronouncing the glory of God's nature and works. Moreover, it is a charge to covenant faithfulness. The benediction is to be received by the people of God as a life-changing, comforting truth. Another man who wrote on worship, Hughes Old, he says the benediction is not simply a formal farewell, nor simply a prayer for grace that is appropriate at the end of a liturgy, but rather it is a pledge of that divine benevolence which is the source of our salvation. And I hope that we see this rich truth as we work through some of the benedictions in the Bible, because Scripture gives us many examples of benedictions. And today we'll consider one of the most well-known from the Old Testament in Numbers 6, verses 22 through 27, as I've said. And it's a blessing where God has commanded Aaron to pronounce over Israel. Now, before we go any further, it's important that we understand the background. The book of Numbers is the fourth book of five books written by Moses in the Pentateuch. And the book of Numbers details Israel's journey from the foot of Mount Sinai to the edge of the Promised Land, and it covers about 40 years of history. Numbers begins with Israel making preparations to leave Mount Sinai, and what starts out as so very promising turns out to be disastrous. There's much grumbling and complaining and doubting God that he could defeat the giants in the Promised Land, that a generation would be delayed entry for 40 years. These first six chapters in the book of Numbers begin with the organization of the people in preparation for the journey into the Promised Land. And part of that preparation was for the priests and the Levites and how they were to bless the people of God. So it's important that as we begin looking at these verses today in the book of Numbers, that we're reminded of who God is and what God promises to do, so that we would be people of God who continue with God. Look with me here at verses 22 through 24, where God offers the blessing of the protection of the Lord. The blessing of the protection of the Lord. We see here the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and telling Moses what he's to say to Aaron and his sons, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them. Before we go any further, it is important that we understand at the very beginning of this study that it is God who pronounces his blessing on Israel and his people and his church through his priests and now through his ordained men of God, his pastors. In verses 22 through 23, it was the Lord himself speaking to Moses, telling Moses what Aaron was to speak to Israel. Three times in verses 24 through 26, we will see the Lord is the one whose name pronouncing the blessing. And then finally in verses 27, we'll see the Lord himself who puts his name on his people. We need to make note here as you look here in your Bible that the use of L-O-R-D, Lord, in all capital letters, that is God's covenant name. There's another way to say that, and that would be Yahweh. Yahweh is the one who's pronouncing these blessings. It is the name that God declared to Moses in Exodus 3 at the bush. This is God's personal name. It is the name that God himself gave Israel, his people, in a covenant with a promise that he would draw near to his people. And so when we begin this very beginning part of the benediction, we can't get past the facts where it says the Lord. It is the covenant-keeping God, Yahweh himself, who is giving himself to his people. This emphasis on the blessing and benediction is from Yahweh. And Yahweh himself, who is blessing the people and will take care of all of their needs. Look here at the first statement that is said here in verse 24. The Lord, Yahweh himself, bless you and keep you. Another way to say that is, the Lord will provide what you need, and he will guard and protect you. The blessing to Israel would have meant, in their context, good harvest, peace upon the land and on offspring and animals, and there would be food and there would be provision, their crops would be blessed. And this idea of keeping you would mean that there would be protection from bad harvest, there would be protection from enemies attacking, that there would not be a lack of children, that there would not be loss to their animals or food sources. And so when the Lord pronounces that he will bless you and keep you, this would have rang in the ears of the Israelites with great hope and great promise. But is this not still the same concerns that we have today? That God would provide and that he would protect us. Are we not praying those things now with a greater awareness during this time of social distancing, this time of not meeting, this time of virus getting all the attention in the world? Are we now not praying that God would protect us and our loved ones, and that when we go to the store that there would actually be food to buy, and that the essentials would be there for us? Are we not crying out, realizing that this line of "give us, Lord, our daily bread" is not just a throwaway line? But God has made promises in Israel in November 6, and it's the same promises today, that God will protect us and provide for us. Again, do we not pray for ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren, that they would be spared from harm, that we would keep them from evil and the evil one from getting a foothold, that we would not be led into temptation, but be delivered from evil? And that is God's prayer for his, that he modeled for us, and it's for his church to pray. And his people to pray. We pray this, and today, as we know that there's those who have lost their jobs and have lost income, that God, that you would sustain them, that you would provide for them, that we would be able to minister and to help them in their time of need. But before we go any further, we must understand this key point, that all blessings in your life come from God. Period. Every blessing that has been in your life in the past, present, and that will come, comes from the Lord. And that is an important truth to remember. Pastor Conrad Mbewe, who pastors in Africa, he wrote in an article discussing the world and the ramifications of this virus and how, as believers, we're responding and having our eyes open. He wrote today, he says, when our bodies are healthy and our jobs are secure, our business is going well, our marriages are intact, we forget human frailty. We find worship of God inconvenient. We become too busy for him. Human pride makes us think that we've reached a place where, quite frankly, we're without God. And it fills us with a false trust in ourselves. Well, right now, at this very minute, all across the world, Yahweh, the one true living God, the covenant-keeping God, the Lord of Lords, has us in a time where he is reminding us, is he not, that he alone is the one that must protect us and that must provide for us, but also promises us that he will do so. Let us never forget, as Conrad says here, that accumulating all kinds of physical and material goods and blessings at the expense of spiritual blessings is not the goal. Our true and lasting treasure can only be found in God alone. Jesus himself teaches this very truth in Matthew 16, verse 26. He says, "What does it profit a man if he gains the world and forfeits his soul?" How tragic it would be to come through this virus and have all the food you can need, all the toilet paper you could ever want, all the money you could ever need, all the trips that you could ever want to take, but you do not have the Lord Yahweh as your Lord and Savior. That would be tragic. We never want to presume on the blessings of God and think that those physical and tangible blessings are the things that matter most when it's the spiritual blessings where God most importantly speaks to us. Because when all the material things pass away, and they surely will, our hope will be found as we stand before God on that day only in the protection of the Lord who blesses and keeps us. Now Israel has seen God be faithful, have they not? They are at the foot of Mount Sinai. How did they get here? Because God brought them out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. He did his 10 signs and he brings them through. He parts the Red Sea. He defeats Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. God brings them through the wilderness and he has brought them to Mount Sinai. But the journey is not over. They must continue through the wilderness to the promised land. He has given them their law. He has thundered from on high that he will be their God and they will be his people. God is still speaking to us in that way, but we have to remember when Israel receives this word, they are still sitting in the wilderness, knowing that the daunting task of walking through this land to the promised land was ahead of them. So often, like Israel, even after seeing and hearing God bless us, we have seen him move in our life. He has been greater and more faithful to us. He has been merciful to us beyond what we could ask or imagine. Even after seeing him answer prayers and hearing him bless us in his word, we are still prone to walk by sight. We are still prone to worry. We are still prone to fear. We are still prone to trust in our flesh and our strength. God knows this, and he's reminding of this truth to us when he gives us this word, how prone we are to shrink at the first sight of adversity and trials in our lives. But I want you to remember this, that the Lord will bless us through his protection. And I want you to take this truth with you, that all that the Lord rescues, he saves and will protect. He is our blessed protection. That's the first thing that we see here in this glorious benediction that God tells Moses to have Aaron, the priest, and his sons speak to the people of Israel. But the next part of the blessing is the blessing of the pleasure of the Lord. In verse 25, look here with me. The Lord doesn't want us just bless us with our physical and spiritual needs and protection. He wants to bless us with himself. He wants us to know him. Verse 25 said, "The Lord make his face to shine upon you." What a beautiful statement this is. This is an expression used to mean that the favor of God is towards us. This is a friendly nearness. This is a closeness where God's presence shines amongst the people. Think of the sun shining, filling a room. The sun, when it hits your face, the brightness of it fills up everything that is around. Well, the Lord's face, it says here, shines. The Lord's face beams. It looks up. It lights up when he looks towards us. Do you get this magic, this amazing truth that God delights in us? The question for us today as we work through this section in this benediction is that hard for you to imagine? That Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, who keeps his promises to dwell and to protect and to bless his people, he delights in you. You may say, well, but how? And why? You know, I have a history. I've got a past. I've said things I shouldn't have. I've done things I shouldn't have. So how can God be delighting in me? The next part of this blessing tells us, because the Lord is gracious to you. It is by a free gift of God's mercy and grace. It is not earned. This is not something that you can pull off in yourself. There is nothing that you can do to work towards God's favor, to have His face to shine upon you. God wants you to know, to feel, and experience His presence. And that presence is shining through His grace, His unmerited favor given to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to the coming one, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And when the darkness of Friday came, Sunday, the clouds were rolled away because the Son of God's face was shining because He's defeated death for us, giving us this unearned and unmerited favor so that we could know God and approach God, not through anything we do, but through the blood of Christ and the work of Christ on our behalf, the great high priest who pronounces the blessing over us and reminds us that His face is beaming in delight. One of the great joys of coaching youth sports, especially little kids sports and like soccer, for example, is when a kid scores a goal or he makes a great stop. The goalie makes a stop and the crowd goes wild. It's an amazing scene to sit back and watch the little guys because their faces light up with joy. The person that this happens to, they don't know how to act, but their face is beaming. Their body language is confident and proud, and there is a pleasure in their accomplishment. And it's written all over their face, this pleasure and this joy at what they've accomplished. And you've seen it, have you not, when you've given that birthday present or that Christmas gift or that gift to someone that they've desired. The pleasure that you get watching them and their face light up. Or that smile when a child lights up as they've delighted their parents in something they've done. No matter how old you are tonight listening, none of us ever outgrow the desire of knowing that we matter. And to feel the pleasure of our parents or our kids or our friends. And God Himself says He delights in us. He takes pleasure. His face shines because He wants to be near us and loves us because of the graciousness that He shows us. A rich man was traveling with a bag of treasure, and a thief found out and decided to join him along the way with plans to rob the rich man. Each night of the journey, the two men would sleep in an inn, and each night the thief planned to rob the rich man of his treasure. But the rich man was wise, and what he would do is he would have the thief to wash up first for the night. And while he was washing up, the rich man would hide his treasure. And he would hide that treasure underneath the pillow of the thief. And then while the rich man bathed, the thief would look all over the place for the treasure, but he could never find it. This went on night after night, and he could never find this treasure. Till finally the thief decided he would part ways. Before he left, the rich man told the thief, he says, "The treasure was closer than you could ever think." And I think this is true of us tonight, for many of us. God's treasure is closer than any of us think or realize. God wants us to know and to feel His gracious presence and His pleasure towards us, His favor that He has put upon us. You know, we can espouse grace, and we do talk about grace a lot, but sometimes I think we feel like God is harsh, that He is distant, that He is displeased with us, and yet He is a taskmaster whom we can never please. But I want to remind you again, and I want to remind you of this truth and ask you this question. Do you see, do you feel His beaming face lighting up, His presence, His pleasure that are all due to His graciousness towards you? What a beautiful truth to be reminded of in this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And finally, we'll see the blessing of the peace of the Lord. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Again, there's this expression of the face talked about. His face is lit up with the sun, with beaming in the presence and the light. And now we see the smile of God, His countenance upon you, the face of God smiling, all due to God's favor, His graciousness. And in doing all of this for us, we can receive the peace of God. Being at peace with God, if you look here in this section, as we saw above, it's His gracious initiative. But it also then flows to the peace that we have with God, being assured that God takes pleasure in us. That there's pleasure that God feels towards us because we are at peace with a holy God. He is smiling and His face is towards us. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified, declared righteous, God has taken our sins and given us the righteousness of Christ, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an objective peace. You watch the news long enough, you scroll through Facebook, you look at Twitter, you read the news, you're going to have a peace that wanes. You need an objective truth that is not subjective and that never changes. And this objective truth that God gives us is a declared righteousness in Christ. We no longer have to fear the wrath and the judgment and the curse of God. It has been satisfied in His Son. So when it is settled and you have trusted in Christ, you no longer have to wonder. You don't have to wake up and wonder how God feels towards you. His smiling face says it all. Psalm 4, 6 through 8 says, there are many who say, will you show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound. In peace I both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This goes back to the blessing and protecting, does it not? You've put more joy in my heart than when my cupboards are full, when I have all of my tangible needs. It is you, Lord God, when your face smiles upon me, that I know you love me in a graciousness that I did not earn because of the favor that you show me based upon the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, on my behalf. I am at peace with the holy God. And then what does it say? And some of you need to hear this. Not only can you lie down, but then you can go to sleep. God's got this. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. It's hard to be fearful and be trusting. It is hard to worry and be prayerful. It is hard to do both of those things. And we need to be reminded that the blessing of the peace of the Lord is not only an objective truth on the day you trust Christ, but is a peace that is unchanging. The world is like sinking sand and shifting sands, but we build upon the rock of our salvation. And there is a peace that surpasses all understanding, found when you trust in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for a secured salvation. I don't know about you, but I am thankful that if this virus had to hit, it hits at this time. Because it is nice to see the sun and be reminded when it comes out that we can at least get outside and bask in the rays of the warmth of the sun. How great it is for us to just stop and to pause and just bask in the glorious radiance, the presence of God, His smiling face towards us. What a blessing it is knowing that nothing, anyone or any material possession can provide. It is only found in the person of Yahweh, the one true and living God. But see, I want you to see here, this is not only a past peace, it's not only a present peace, but it's a future peace. Look with me at verse 27. So they shall put my name upon. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. When the priests would speak the blessing of God, they're standing in the place of God, delivering the message of God. Again, they don't have any right to change the message. They can't edit it. They can't change one part. They are delivering the message of God. And God says, I am going to put my name upon the people of Israel. You see, the name of God is not just something that we identify God with. It represents all of his nature, his attributes, his power, his authority, his entire being. You can say, well, how can I know that I will be protected? That God, he takes pleasure in me and that I am really at peace with God because he's put his name on his blessing. He's put his name on his promise. Well, let me say it this way. He's put his name on you. God has put his name on you. To help you illustrate it, it reminds me of the movie Toy Story. When Woody and Buzz Lightyears, who are Buddy and Buzz Lightyear, are toys who belong to a boy named Andy. But Buzz has this identity crisis going on. He says, I'm not a space ranger. I'm just a toy. I'm a stupid, insignificant toy. And then Woody, his friend, encourages him. He says, look over in that house. There is a kid who thinks you are the greatest. And it's not because you're a space ranger, pal. It's because you're a toy. You're his toy. Those words finally sunk in when Buzz looks at his shoe. And on the bottom of his shoe, he sees Andy's name written across it. In God, we get the person, the presence, and the power of God because we've been labeled with the very name of God. I don't know what else can get you to glorify God, to desire to worship God, and to praise God than to say, my name is on you. You are mine. You can trust God in the past. You can trust him in the present. And you can trust him because he promises to bless us in the future. He says, I will bless them. God is going to continue to bless you. As H.B. Charles said, you can live a long time on a promise if you trust the one who made the promise. Brothers and sisters, do you trust the one who wrote your name before the foundations of the world in the Lamb's Book of Life? Who your name is imprinted on his heart, his mind, and God has put his name upon us. He is the owner. He has stamped us. We are his. And he is mine. Can you say that tonight? You say, well, what's that got to do with us living on this side of the Old Testament? Well, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 20 through 22 says this. For all the promises of God find their yes in him, meaning Jesus Christ. That is why through him that we may utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. In Christ, the Spirit is in you and it has been sealed to you. You have been marked by the owner. And every promise that he's given throughout the Bible finds their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So tonight, my goal for this first benediction was that we would be able to see and to be able to say with greater trust, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Tonight, as we conclude, I pray that you hear this benediction, this blessing that God speaks over you now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray.